had before us and turned down in this body would restrict us from doing the things that we need to do in government nor the things that we want to do. I think it was more generous. In fact, it was a more generous limit than I was comfortable with. But I have promised that I would not support the use of the earnings or broad-based taxes without the guardrails of a spending cap. And so I am very reluctantly and somewhat sadly going to be a no vote tonight, but I'm very appreciative of what you did, Mr. President. And at some future date, I think what you have put in place here will be a paradigm that we'll go forward with. Thank you.
Further debate? Senator Guest.
Please call on the Senate.
Senator Guest, Senator Ogle is feeling ill. He just went to his office to lay down. He'll come back when we're done with debate. So at this time, I'm saying that we can continue debate without a call. Let him rest a few minutes while debate goes on. Do we have further debate? Senator Stedman.
Mr. President, it's kind of tough to follow up behind my colleague from District E. I think some of the statements that he made this evening hopefully will be well received by the people of the state of Alaska, because the economic condition of the state of Alaska is not crumbling, the sky is not falling, and we'll go ahead and deal with these issues and work through them over time. And the issue of a fiscal plan, which is what he laid out, where to come up with the funds to take care of the roughly $600 million deficit, I think is accurate and it's doable. I have a little different opinion on how I'd like to see the permanent fund structured. I support the POMV concept. I think it cleans up a lot of issues that they have currently with the way they structure and the way they manage the fund, just because of the size and being 20 years or actually a little older than 20 years. The issue of accessing the earnings reserve is definitely correct. If we, the state, move to a percent of market value, the earnings reserve basically disappears. The legislature will have virtually no ability to access funds over the 5%, and that's if they took all of it, and I doubt very much if they'd ever do that. But if they did hypothetically take 50% to start with, that's a little over $600 million a year, which would plug the deficit hole. The issue of the $2.1 billion still in the earnings reserve, and we've all heard the governor wants at least $1 billion in there as a minimum, leaves currently $1.1 billion. And I think the point brought up tonight that there'd be a high likelihood that there'd be a substantial discussion at the legislature to spend that over a period of time, continually pushing us into more deficits without a spending cap, I think is on point. Unfortunately, we're dealing with trying to modernize the permanent fund. We're wrapped up in this split issue at the same time. We're wrapped up in this election issue coming up this fall. I don't think it's good timing. I wish it was different timing, and quite frankly, if it was up to me, we'd work on a POMV issue and work on a split some other time. But that's not how the cards are laid out. So to the Alaskans that are sitting home in their living room wondering where the fiscal plan is and why we don't have one, there's several plans. There's not a lot of pieces to the plan. We're not working with a 1,000-piece puzzle or a 500-piece puzzle. We're working with a puzzle that's only half a dozen pieces, and they're large pieces. And there's some debate over how they should go together. And there is no perfect solution. One of the advantages of going to a POMV, it makes it extremely difficult for the legislature to secure pieces of the permanent fund over 5% a year, and that's if they took everything. And I don't think, all the whole 5%, I don't think that's likely. At 50%, and again, you're looking at about $600,000. So so it shields the rest of the $4 billion earnings reserve from the legislature. You know, I'm going to go ahead and support the POMV. I think that there's a reasonable likelihood that we can get the education out and the information out to the citizens of Alaska, and they'll support that in the fall. And in case they don't, and they turn that down, that, in my opinion, doesn't preclude us from exercising, if we choose, the earlier fiscal plan that was thrown out on the table 10 minutes ago, using the earnings reserve with the constitutional budget reserve in combination. It doesn't close that door. Some people may take that a no vote on POMV in the electorate that you can't go there. And that's certainly, you know, their opinion, and that's fine, but I don't agree with it. Clearly, we have obligations to make, and we're going to make them. And we'll either make them with a POMV, or we'll make them with a combination of the constitutional budget reserve and earnings reserve, or we'll make them with an income tax or sales tax. But we will educate our children. We will have highways. We will take care of the health care of the people of the state of Alaska. And we are going to push for development of our resources, because we don't have any choice. You know, it takes a lot of money to run a state with 600,000 people the size of Alaska. And that's just one of the things we always have to deal with. With oil accounting to roughly about 85 or 83% of our general fund revenue, we don't have the ability to tax our people to run our state. We have to go to our resources. And one of the resources we do have that I think can be better utilized in running our economy is the permit fund. With that, Mr. President, I will yield the floor and thank you for the time.
Do we have further debate? Seeing none, can we have a brief recess? The Senate come back to order? Do we have any further debate? Seeing none, question before the body is, shall committee substitute for House Joint Resolution 26, Finance Amended Senate, pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will tally the roll.
5 yeas, 15 nays.
So by a vote of 5 yeas, 15 nays, House Joint Resolution 26 fails to pass the Senate.
Senate Resolution Number 4 by the Senate Resources Committee, requesting the United States Congress to amend the Federal Wilderness Act to authorize fishery enhancement programs and similar activities in wilderness areas.
We are in debate under final passage. Senator Ogden.
Thank you, Mr. President. By the way, I'm doing okay. I'm just probably burned a candle on both ends a little too much. I'll be to the point. I'd like to connect the dots on this. This lawsuit by the Wilderness Society and the other environmental groups in this state takes 100,000 red salmon right out of Lower Cook Inlet. I'd like to connect the dots. The Wilderness Society is run by a woman who I personally helped not get confirmed to the game board, whose husband is the chairman of Friends of At Sioux. And I just want to make a very strong point that I personally feel somewhat outraged that this activity that somehow is going to hurt, of a float plane landing, is going to somehow hurt somebody's wilderness experience. So the reason we are back here with this resolution, there was a resolution that was up earlier this year that asked the, it was by my friend from the Kenai Peninsula, that asked the Department of Interior to take this case to the Ninth Circuit en blanc. And they have done so. The Ninth Circuit has agreed to let the 2 million salmon fry be released this year, and that's the final year. So a few years from now, 4 years, I think, when the red salmon come back, we're going to lose 100,000 fish out of Lower Cook Inlet. So I think it's kind of an absurdity. The only real fix, according to the Department of Justice, is a change to federal law. And this precedent can also threaten other activities, like, for example, I don't even want to give any suggestions. Somebody might sue. Thank you.
Do we have any further debate? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to rise and say that we are looking at a resolution that has some far-reaching implications, especially in my district, where we look at things like the simple herdsmanship that's out there, reindeer herding. Reindeer are a transplanted animal that came over from Russia back in the late 1800s, and it too is one of those issues that may be very well affected by this. At this time, the reindeer industry has its perils because of the increasing amount of caribou that are decimating the reindeer herds that are there. With that, I want to make sure people are well aware that this resolution will go ahead and affect other things besides the Tustamina Lake situation. Thank you, Mr. President.
Do we have further debate? Seeing none, the question before the body is, shall Senate Resolution 4 pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will tally the roll.
20 yeas, 0 nays.
By a vote of 20 yeas, 0 nays, Senate Resolution 4 has passed the Senate. Can we have a brief of these? Order, Mr. Majority Leader.
Serve notice of reconsideration on House Joint Resolution 26.
Reconsideration has been given on House Joint Resolution 26. Senator Wilkin.
President, I'd like to bring up my reconsideration of House Joint Resolution number 9.
Reconsideration on House Joint Resolution number 9.
Senate CS for CS for House Joint Resolution number 9, Finance, proposing amendments to the Constitution of the State of Alaska relating to an appropriation limit.
We are in third reading on a reconsideration. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to appeal one more time to this body, Mr. President, on the importance of demonstrating to the public and to the other members of this body and of this legislature a spending restraint in order as the first step of a fiscal plan. We have heard time and time again that in order to demonstrate that we won't use new sources of revenue to drive up spending, we must first pass a more concise, modernized spending limit. This spending limit, which is essentially a four-year experiment to show to the public and show to ourselves and to show to future legislatures that we can meet the needs of the public services, restrain ourselves from overspending, and give them the confidence that they need for us before they'll give us approval for using new sources of revenue. Before we give ourselves confidence to implement new legislation that creates new revenue for the state. So, one last time, Mr. President, I urge a yes vote on a constitutional spending limit to modernize a system that we've had in place for many years that was originally put in to give confidence to those that wrote it then that they would try to maintain a spending limit. Thank you, Mr. President.
Do we have further debate? Senator Guess.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I will one time remind the body and the majority leader that there are 15 exemptions in this bill. And for me, there has to be one more. And that's the exemption of our public education system. So we have the flexibility in the future, even if it's just the next 4 years, even if it's just someone's college education, even if it's just someone's high school years, to do what we need, we see fit for education. Thank you.
Senator Bundy.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a comment about the need for a spending limit. I hear from folks who oppose, and the public who oppose a spending limit, and say, you're the legislature, just show leadership, just limit your spending. And that's true, I suppose, and if we had the spending limit, you know, that puts some sideboards on our behavior. But a spending limit puts sideboards on others' behavior, and I think we should acknowledge that, that for every dollar that we spend, there's an advocacy group, whether it's education or it's mental health or it's any number of other issues. There's a group in the public that advocate for, quote, adequate funding. And their adequate funding, whatever it is never enough. There's always a greater demand. There are always needs. And the reason that state spending grows isn't because this legislature has an insatiable appetite to spend money. It's because they're answering the demand of Alaskans who have an insatiable appetite for service.
Senator French.
Thank you, Mr. President. We held out an olive branch last night. We offered to meet you halfway. There was a lot of discussion about how education is half the spending of this state, and we said we'll meet you halfway. Take this part out, keep that part under, we'll sign on. But there wasn't any of that. And so we're holding fast to our basic principles. That is that there's no mathematical formula that's going to drive something as wonderful as education. There's no set of numbers that you can paste on a board and say we're subservient to these and not our fundamental responsibility every single day to educate our children. I'm a no vote again tonight, Mr. President.
Do we have further debate? Senator Wagner.
Mr. President, in the afternoon sometimes, when it's a little slow, I spend some time calling constituents in my district. And it's amazing. They talk about a lot of different issues, and they talk about the permanent fund, but it comes down to one thing. They say, we don't trust you guys, and then I start talking to them about the constitutional spending limit. You know what? When the phone call is over, the one thing they always say, I would say 5 out of 6 people say, yeah, put the constitutional spending limit in place first, and then we'll talk about other issues. And Mr. President, that's the honest truth. That's what the majority of the people that I talk to really say about a spending limit. So I know the public out there is used to it. And these aren't people I pick out and select. These are random phone calls I make. So the people expect a spending limit from us before any other thing is done as far as our plans for a fiscal plan for the state of Alaska. Thank you.
Senator Seekins.
Thank you, Mr. President. We've heard how some members have a vested interest in the success of the education program in the state of Alaska. I have 5 grandsons and a granddaughter. All of my children attended public school. My grandchildren are in public schools. There's nothing that I would do to risk their ability to get a good education in the state of Alaska. I'll be attending the graduation Sunday of my youngest daughter from the University of Alaska. I'm proud of what she has accomplished and what the system has provided for her. I'm proud of the growth that we have had in education. I'm proud of the members of this body who this year went out deliberately and found out how much money we needed across the state to meet the budget and said, I'll forego capital spending to make sure that we are funding Alaska, the education system of Alaska. I'm proud of that. There's not a member here that is not in support of a strong education system in this state. I'm convinced of that from my private conversations around this body. I see members here that are just like me with grandchildren or with children who are in this system across the state. So I want to make it very clear in my case that if I vote for a spending cap, I'm not risking, in my mind, the future education system of the state of Alaska. Why? Because as I look at this proposal that's before us, it says, you know, with 14 votes out of the Senate, all of you folks can go to a 2% increase over the cap. And with just 15 votes, you can go to 4%. And when I apply those numbers to what the cap is, I can't imagine that that, under any circumstances, wouldn't be enough after we have already brought the education system up to a good level this year, that that would not be enough in the future to be able to take care of the needs of the system. All it says is that 15 of you folks in this Senate, and the same percentage in the other body, override, because we need more in the school system. And it's a huge number that we're talking about. 4% of 47% of our budget. It's a huge number. In addition to the calculator that we have there in this amendment that we're looking at, this proposed amendment, that gives us a CPR escalator to keep pace. Do I believe then that the education system over the next 4 years is going to demand 16% more in addition to the escalator? Do I believe that we can't step up to the plate and say, yes, I'll vote my 15 votes to get that additional money to exceed the cap if education needs it? I refuse to believe that this body would not do that, nor the other one. So I'm comfortable voting for this because it gives some sideboards for us, all of us, to look at. It gives us something to focus on. Yes, it does mean that we may not be able to leverage other things into an education budget. But what it does do, it allows us to meet the legitimate needs of the growth of this system for the next 4 years. And that's all we have to go before we deliberate on how we're going to do it next time. Education is not at risk here under any circumstances that any economist could ever bring to us. So I'm not going to hide behind that excuse when I try to say I'm willing to be able to put sideboards on the spending that I'm going to vote for in this body. That's why I will vote to put this amendment before the people of the state of Alaska, to let them know that I'm taking my job seriously, that I have the safeguards in case of emergency, and that I will restrain my spending appropriately.
Do we have further debate? Seeing none, question before the body is, shall Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Joint Resolution 9 Finance pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will tally the roll.
12 yeas, 8 nays.
A vote of 12 yeas, 8 nays. House Joint Resolution 9 fails to pass the Senate. Senator Seekins.
Mr. President, I'd like to bring up reconsideration of Senate Bill 97.
Senate Bill 97?
And if I could have a brief at ease, I'd like to distribute a proposed amendment.
Brief at ease. Senator Seekins.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd move and ask unanimous consent that we move back to second reading for the purpose of offering amendment, a specific amendment, that being amendment number 2 that's on the tables.
Without objection, we will return to second reading. Senator Seekins.
Thank you, Mr. President, I'd like to move Amendment Number 2.
Is there any objection? Seeing no objection, Amendment Number 2 is adopted. Puts us back in third reading. Under reconsideration. Do we have debate? Seeing Mr. Majority Leader. Brief at ease. We are in third reading. The call was not placed. Senator Seekins.
Mr. President, as amended, I believe this bill has accomplished what I attempted to try to set out to do yesterday, and that was to make sure that under any circumstances that a case that was brought regarding subsistence uses of fish and game would be exempt if we eliminated if the bill was passed in its current form. So that if someone who did have a legitimate case regarding subsistence would be able to bring their lawsuit against the other parties in the state of Alaska, the Board of Game, the Board of Fish, the Commissioner, the Department, etc., then they would be, if they prevailed, they'd get all of their attorney's fees back. If they did not prevail, they would not have to pay the state their attorney's fees. So I think this accomplishes that, what I set out to do yesterday. And with that accomplished, I would offer it to the members that are here in its final form.
Do we have further debate? Seeing none, the question before the body is, shall committee substitute for Senate Bill 97, Judiciary Amended, pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will tally the roll.
10 yeas, 9 nays.
At a vote of 10 yeas, 9 nays, Senate Bill 97 has failed to pass the Senate. See, we now go down to, we have one item that we placed on the bottom of the calendar.
Senate Bill number 366 by the Senate Finance Committee by request. An act relating to the levy and collection of sales and use taxes, to the levy and collection of municipal sales and use taxes, and to municipal sales and use taxes on alcoholic beverages, and providing for an effective date. The Finance Committee considered the bill and recommended a Finance Committee substitute, new indeterminate fiscal note, signing do pass, Senator Wilkin, co-chair, Senators Bundy, Ben Stevens, signing do not pass, Senators Hoffman, Olson, signing no recommendation, Senator Dyson. There's a Finance Committee substitute.
Senator Wilkin.
Mr. President, move and ask unanimous consent the Finance Committee substitute be considered in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, the Finance CX will be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
I have no amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Asking unanimous consent committee substitute Senate Bill 366 be considered in gross amendments, third reading, placed on final passage.
Without objection. Senate Bill 366 advances to third reading. Mr. Majority Leader.
This is a good sign, Mr. President. This bill, Mr. President.
Oh, I'm sorry. We've got to do the third reading. I'm sorry.
Oh, pardon me. I've been a little excited about it.
CS for Senate Bill number 366, Finance. An act relating to the levy and collection of sales and use taxes, and to the levy collection and expenditure of municipal taxes, and providing for an effective date.
Now we're legal. Now you can talk.
Just vote for it and I won't talk. 3% sales tax, a use and service tax, Mr. President, statewide. Department of Revenue estimates raises about $220 million. One-third of it will go back to the communities from which the tax is collected. It'll be about a $60 million, about a $75 million community dividend. Increase in revenues to the communities. How does that work? It'll be 3% statewide. 1% of the tax would be remitted back to the local taxing jurisdiction, but only to those taxing jurisdictions that share revenue generation within their community by an existing sales tax of greater than 3%. There's a provision, Mr. President, they would have a transition period to allow communities that have a lower tax to move to the 3% qualifier over a period of time. The tax would be capped at no more than $60 per transaction. Provisions would streamline the collection of all sales tax within all taxing jurisdictions to be under the supervision of the state, thus relieving local communities of expenses and burdens of collecting tax. But it also has a provision, Mr. President, to where the Department of Revenue for the state could contract with local taxing jurisdictions if it made sense to be more efficient, to utilize the existing structure. There's also a provision, Mr. President, that allows local communities to continue to enact, raise or lower specific targeted taxes that they have, such as a bed tax, a fish tax, and we would not have to, that would not be with under the purview of this revenue sharing agreement. The exemptions in this tax, Mr. President, exempt are government agencies' expenditures, food stamp purchases, occasional isolated sales, such as a garage sale or used automobile sale from an individual to an individual, health care services provided by licensed providers, prescription drugs, utilities, items for resale, goods used for the purposes of manufacturing industrial materials, transportations of goods and services and people, real property for services used in the development of natural resources, wages, salaries, and tips would not be applied under this provision, financial services, banking transactions, brokerage transactions would be exempt, sale, lease, or rental of real property, sale, lease, rental, or construction of real property or goods and equipment used in that. And finally, Mr. President, communities less than 500 people would be exempt from this tax. It's been said that, Mr. President, that a municipal a taxing jurisdiction uses the majority, raises the majority of their money from a sales tax. And that this, the implementation of something like this would be complex and complicated and therefore take away an existing tool that those communities have used. Mr. President, I'd like to remind the members of the body, many of the people at Senate Finance have heard this over and over again. We've worked on this bill probably more than any bill in Senate Finance this year, and I'm thankful for the chairman, the co-chair of Senate Finance, to do this. We've heard testimony from all across the state, mainly from municipalities and other local government agencies have spoken against this concept. I said it at the time during public testimony. At the conclusion of their public testimony, this is not a debate between the consumer and the state of Alaska trying to generate revenue. This debate has morphed into a competition of governments over who can have access to the resources of the consumers that live within the boundaries, whether it be the boundary of the state or the boundary of the municipality or the boundary of the borough. Forty-five other states collect state, county, or city taxes. This is not something that we couldn't do here. The streamlined sales tax agreement puts forth and gives to us a framework from which to implement this. Mr. President, we see constantly the struggle here to try to find revenue to meet the funding gap that we have here. We see constantly the debate on are we spending too much? Are we spending too little? We need more money to spend. This raises revenue, Mr. President. The critics will say that it causes bureaucracy. Creating bureaucracy to get more money. But there's no question about it. Department of Revenue says it will raise, we have to add about 79 people in order to implement this tax. It costs about $5 million, they figure, a year to raise $220 million. I don't know about you, but if I had a business that had 79 people and it cost me $5 million to run and raise $220 million, I'd jump at it in a heartbeat. But the concept of raising bureaucracy for that, it, to me, is it's not an issue here. The issue here is what are we going to do to raise revenue on a system across the state, a broad-based revenue generator. They're going to say, the critics are going to say that it's a regressive tax, that it taxes the poor at an unfair rate compared to the rich. Last time I checked, rich people spend more money, therefore they pay more tax, because this tax applies to every transaction. It applies to, it's a service tax. It applies to whether you're using a lawyer, an accountant. It's different than a prior sales tax that used to that has been traditionally built on what would be an item exchange, where you exchange a tangible asset and tax that tangible asset. This is an invoice tax. It's a service tax. So it's my position, Mr. President, we don't really know how much money this is going to raise in the state because we've never really contemplated that. The Department of Revenue has never had a chance to do it. Mr. President, the provisions in this bill that have been worked on allow for a one-year transition period. The enactment date would not be till July 1, 2005. And after we've heard tonight the debate on bridging, building the bridge to the future, trying to understand and looking at all the proformas and all the projects and all the projections, that if everything fell into place, by the year 2015, we'd have enough resource development in place that we would just repeal this tax, repeal this. So there's a repealer in here, Mr. President, that on June 30, 2013, this would be repealed. This has been a lot of work, and I appreciate there's been a lot of people. I appreciate the Department of Revenue and their work that has done. We've put a lot of demands on them in a short amount of time because constantly changing, them trying to transition their force from the way our revenue, our taxation department, we collect more revenue in our state from the least amount of people in the taxation department in Alaska than anywhere else in the country. Because we only get taxes from four major sources. Oil severance tax, oil royalty tax, commercial property tax, and corporate income tax, of which mainly applies to the oil producers. We all know that those four taxes contribute about 87% of the resources to our state treasury. This is the first attempt to break outside of that. To do what people have been telling us to do what all the pollsters have said. If we politic by polls, everybody should be voting, it should be 20 to nothing if we politic by polls around here. Because this is the one poll that constantly, on both sides of the aisle, says is the number one piece that people would approve of. I told you should have said, just voted yes, and I would have shut up. But finally, I would just appeal to the members of the body to know what we've gone through this session, to know that we've all realized there is a funding gap. Is it a deficit? I would say so. It's not. It's an asset allocation issue. I've always said that. We have so much financial resources at our discretion that we choose not to use. Some of us have said we'll never use it until all of us are putting something forth. We have some people say no one will ever pay attention to government in Alaska because nobody gives anything to government. this is the first attempt, Mr. President, to get people to pay attention to what we're doing, to give them to put some skin in the game. And if they don't want to pay it, they don't have to spend the money. If they don't have the money, they pay, we all pay. If a family that has about a $1,600 discretionary income on a month, they pay about $90 a month. A family that has $5,000 in discretionary income, they pay about $150 a month. It's all the same. If you spend more money, you pay it, because it happens on each transaction. This is the best I could do at this point, Mr. President. If it doesn't pass tonight, I'm sure we'll go back tomorrow. If we don't have amendments, maybe I'll bring back amendments. But I'm not going to give up trying to get you people to vote on this. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Elton.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm going to begin by saying that I appreciate the work that has gone into this by the member who just spoke, by the sponsor of the legislation. I understand how difficult it is to work with a myriad number of people to come up with something that you can present to the body. I also appreciate his effort on another, maybe more basic level, that it is very difficult to work on a project like this, spend a lot of time on a project like this, when you know that, in fact, as you present it, you're going to incur a certain amount of criticism. Despite that, he has worked on the bill, and he's gotten to this point. I'm going to vote against the bill for some of the reasons that I don't need to mention, because he already has mentioned them. Critics may say this, and in many cases I agree with those critics who may have said what he suggested. But the real reason, and maybe the major reason that I'm going to vote against this, is he began to present the bill. He talked about this as that it has an element of revenue sharing, because a dollar of it goes back to the communities. I mean, I would suspect that almost every community in this state would agree that this is revenue sharing. But they would say it the other way. They would say, hey, there's $3 taken out of my community, and we're sharing $2 of it with the state. And that's kind of a tough concept in many communities. This is a tax that has been reserved, to this point, for municipalities. They're the ones that levy it if they choose. They're the ones that design who pays it, who doesn't pay it, who's exempted, who's not exempted. In my community, we pay 5% sales tax. The net effect of this is that you pay 8%, but it's really 7%, because the community will get a percent back. I think we're getting awfully close to that point in which we change buying behavior if we have a tax at 7%. Some communities, it's going to be higher when you layer this on top of the municipal tax. But we get very close to changing buying behavior in a new kind of a world where we can go online and we can buy our books and music, we can pick up a catalog and we can buy our clothes. And for a consumer, especially many of our neighbors, the decision to buy locally and spend 7%, sometimes more, is a very difficult decision, especially for those people on limited incomes. And if we change their buying behavior and they go online or they go to catalogs, I mean, that's a double whammy, because then those stores in our communities, whether they sell books or clothes or music, they're losing business. These are the people that hire locally. They pay property taxes. They remit sales taxes back to the municipality if the municipality has a sales tax. And that's one of those unintended consequences that I believe is going to happen if, in fact, we agree to put this tax on top of sales taxes that are already collected by municipalities. I'm going to close the same way I began. There is no perfect solution on how we raise revenues, especially when we're talking about raising revenues from individual Alaskans. And I commend the member who brought this before us, because I know the firestorm that can happen when you suggest that we're going to take money out of an Alaskan's pocket. But again, I mean, I think this is the last way I'd like to do it, because I think it has unintended consequences, like jerking on the shorts at one end of the clothesline. You don't know how the clothes at the other end are going to bounce. And I'm very afraid of that. I'm very afraid of what can happen to some of the local merchants if, in fact, we do this. So I'd encourage a no vote.
Senator Bundy.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, this bill before us, or something like it, will one day be one of the tools, one of the building blocks that we use in the state of Alaska to fund state services. And in the hopes that we can get our tools in place before we need them, we can repair the roof before it rains, and with the hope that another essential tool that we failed to pass earlier tonight will eventually come to bear, I'd like to encourage folks to think about passing this bill. And just to address a couple of questions, and there's the ongoing debate about this is a regressive tax and so we cannot pass it. So terribly regressive, why do municipalities feel delighted in using it and very protective of wanting to use this? And if it's an evil tax, there's a lot of evil municipalities in the state of Alaska, I guess. You know, the reverse of the regressive tax is a progressive tax. And if you look at the demographics of Alaska, you'll find that only about half Alaskans work. And less than 20% of those that work would make enough money to pay a progressive tax. And that brings me to a point. You don't ask for more than you feel you really need, and you take better care of what you get. I think the short circuit of that is you got skin in the game. And it's a strongly held opinion of mine that any successful solution to long-term fiscal challenges in Alaska will require a very broad base of participation in Alaskans. We're well past the time when we can play Chilkoot Charlie and either cut the other fellow or tax the other fellow and pass the savings on to us. We've all got to be part of the solution. And as we discuss solutions, I think it'd be well to keep in mind another premise that I hold, and that is the ultimate source of state funds are the people of Alaska. Now, we can get those funds from the people of Alaska by raising taxes on businesses, and they don't absorb that tax, they pass it on, and the people pay. Or we can access those funds via the permanent fund earnings, the people's money. Or we can use personal taxes. We've turned down two of the tools earlier this evening that I think we ought to be using. This is a third tool, and in hopes that we'll go back and revisit in the not distant future the other two tools I think we need, I'll support this measure. Thank you.
Senator Cowdery.
Thank you. I'd like to a little bit of information, maybe from the gentleman from Juneau here that spoke earlier. They said he had 5% sales tax in this town. I was wondering how much of that comes from the tourists, if he knows or has an idea. And also, I think there's about 750,000 non-residents that visit my town, Anchorage, every year. And there's about 1.6 million people that come to Alaska last year. So I was wondering if the sponsor has any figures on what that might bring into our town in Anchorage. And, I have no calculations, and if we can't get this, I'd like to know under reconsideration. Thanks.
Senator Elton.
Mr. President, I can answer the part of the question that was addressed to me. I'm tempted to say we don't get enough from the tourists. But what the community of Juneau does is we have a sales tax exemption for out-of-town purchases. We do it in an attempt to be business-friendly to the neighboring communities who come in and they shop at our box stores, they shop at our other stores. And because we do that, we can't discriminate between one class of out-of-town purchasers and another class of out-of-town purchasers. So what typically happens is if a visitor that's off a cruise ship, for example, comes to our community, buys something at a curio store or some other store, especially if it's a large purchase, the clerk will always say there is a sales tax exemption for out-of-town purchases, and they have the option of getting that exemption and spending it. I'd also note that for tours that are sold on ships, which is most of the tourism spending in our community, those sales that are made on ships are not levied a sales tax also.
Further debate? Senator French.
Thank you, Mr. President. I need to announce that I have a conflict with this bill. I see that the sale, lease, and rental of real property has been excluded. I want to thank the Majority Leader for that exclusion. I didn't ask for it, but it's in the bill. And just when I was getting excited about that, though, he told me that the sales of services from an attorney are taxed. So I guess I have a conflict on both sides, no matter how I vote on this measure. But I just couldn't help but ask myself as I was pondering why self-employed attorneys got lumped in here, why stockbrokers got lumped out. And I thought about that, and I thought, well, what about plumbers? A plumber working in Anchorage has to turn around and bill his clients a sales tax, but the stockbroker over there in the nice office, he operates free of this. So I like the other folks here. I guess I commend the Majority Leader for working hard on this bill, but I don't quite understand the rationales behind it, and I'm pretty confident I'm going to be a no vote.
Senator Gary Stevens.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is, I know, a very difficult subject for many of us, and it's interesting to hear many of my colleagues on this floor who have spoken in favor of sales tax. I just point out, come from communities that do not have sales tax. Those of us who do are aware of the impact that it would have, the very negative impact it would have on the medium-sized communities that already have 6 or 7% sales tax. And if you add to that another 3%, I think it would have an impact on local business. It could run business out and change what has been a traditional option for local communities to fund their services. So I'm opposed to this. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Wagner.
Well, I'm the other part, Mr. President, of the Kenai Peninsula that Senator from Kodiak doesn't represent. But I'll give you a little idea of what the problems are on the peninsula. In Kenai, we have a 5% tax. In Homer, we have a 5.5% tax. In Seldovia, 6 months out of the year, we have a 4% tax. 6 months out of the year, we have a 6.5% tax. In Soldotna, we have a 5% tax. Seward, we have a 6% tax. And of that, in the outlying areas that aren't in an incorporated area, there's a 2% tax. And then each of the cities gives 2%, or actually the borough retains 2% of that tax. And I guess my point is, number one, we can't even in the borough that I live in agree on the amount of sales tax. And the problem I really have with the sales tax is we're within 2.5 hours driving, easy drive, good roads, to Anchorage. And it's not a matter of how much you would save going to Anchorage to buy large items, since Anchorage doesn't have any sales tax at all right now. It's the perception of what you would save, and also the perception that if you go to Anchorage, a bigger town, you got more places to shop, you got more competition, you're going to get a better buy. And I think a sales tax right now, the way this is structured, would be very detrimental to the business people who are working very hard to stay in business on the Kenai Peninsula, selling such items as vehicles, building supplies, etc. I don't deny we're going to have to do some taxes one of these days, and I have always felt that a sales tax is the best tax you can have because it does hit everybody, and it hits them according to their ability to purchase. But I guess I don't feel right now is the time. I haven't had time to work with my communities on this. I set up a small working group before I came here, and about halfway through the session, I called them, and I said, I don't think we're going to do anything working on sales taxes. It doesn't look like there's going to be one. And so over the summer, I assure you, I will reinstitute that group and do some work, and maybe next year we can look at it again. But right now, I'm a no. And I guess the other thing I don't like about this bill is I don't feel that we should exempt people at all in the state of Alaska, exempting towns that are 500 or less just kind of leaves a bad feeling with me, because we even have communities on the Kenai Peninsula, such as Seldovia, that are 500 people or less. And they've been taxing themselves for years. So I have a problem with exempting anybody from a sales tax. I think we should all share together in supporting the state of Alaska if we have a sales tax. Thank you, Mr. President.
Do we have further debate? Senator Stedman.
Mr. President, I would like to thank the Finance Committee for all the hard work they've done on this bill, and it is a legitimate piece of the puzzle trying to solve our fiscal issue at hand. And without an extensive work like this to get down to a pretty much a finalized document, it's hard to make a decision on which piece to select of that puzzle for the final I guess the final assembly of whatever we're going to have to fix this fiscal issue. But I have to oppose a sales tax. The district I represent are island communities. They all have sales tax. One of them, Wrangell, has a 7% sales tax. They're all struggling. They've had economic base declining over the last decade with timber and then with the fisheries. So it's not a good time to impose a burden like this on them. They're not susceptible to too much leakage. There's a little bit of travel to Juneau. Most of the leakage, the leakage is not from roads. We use a ferry with Juneau, but mainly out of mail order and off the internet. I think this would push more of that direction, and that would hurt the local merchants in the community, which already are struggling with declining sales. Although I think this proposal is fleshed out to a standard that should be kept to maybe be revisited in the future, because it is a legitimate piece of the puzzle. I would just like to try to select another piece or two to solve the issue at hand today and leave this for another day. Thank you.
Do we have further debate? Senator Seekins.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm reminded of the senator from District P in Anchorage, who always talks about the perfect tax, that being the tax which someone else pays. And I'm reminded of the visit down here earlier in the session of the mayors from the Alaska Municipal League, who gave us a vote of no confidence because we wouldn't tax their people so we could give the money back to them so that they didn't have to tax their people. And I wonder, I look at all the myriad of taxes, the sales taxes across the state, and one of my districts does and one of my districts doesn't. On a personal level, the last place I want to try to affect is the family pocketbook. I appreciate the majority leader bringing this up here, because every day I hear from people, just tax me, and then we can do all these things. But when something's rolled out on the table, we retreat from it. I watched it on TV, heard members of the legislature say, just tax me, just tax me, just tax me, 3 times, if I remember. So we roll it out. I'm not sure that it's the right time, but let's just see if people really are willing to put their money where their mouth is on this kind of a program. Thank you.
Any further debate? Mr. Majority Leader.
I believe this issue is worthy of a debate for every member to speak, maybe even speak twice, Mr. President. Maybe I can do what I like to do, is rile people up to respond. You know, I grew up in Alaska as a young child. I spent time here in Juneau as a young child, just like lots of people here on this floor in this building. Grew up as a young child, and we all did the same thing. We run to the mailbox and get the catalog around Christmas, and we would flip through the catalogs, and we would circle things, and we'd put dog ears in it, and we'd fight with brothers and sisters to see who got to look at the catalogs first. Why'd we do that? We did it because the items that we wanted were not available to purchase. So catalog shopping is nothing new to Alaska. We've been doing that forever because, you know why? Because we can't find the item we want to buy. Why do we go to the internet now? Because we can't find the item we want to buy, or we go for convenience. How many times do you go to the internet? You know what it would cost in order to save money or to lose money to buy from the internet? Whatever, which way you want to look at it. Under this proposal, it'd have to be a transaction of over $750 if you were trying to save money. Because at the shipping costs, and no matter how you look at it, with air freight or overnight express or three-day express, about $2,250. It'd have to be a $750 transaction. So how many people are going to spend $750 and say, oh, well, I can save $3? The reason why you go to the Internet, I go to the Internet, is because I can't find what I'm looking for. Just like I was when I was a little boy. If the product's down the street, down the hill here, or if I can stop in at the local box store along the way, or if I stop into the local guy down there at the Mendenhall Valley Mall or wherever it is, I'll stop and buy it there. But to say that this is going to drive people away, I got to tell you, you know, I've driven 200 miles for a hamburger, but I haven't driven 200 miles to save $3, I can tell you that. But the sales cap, it's a $60 cap. You're going to drive to Anchorage from Homer to save $60 when it's all in the same transaction? You're going to buy a car, you're going to go all the way to our fine friend up in North Pole or wherever his facility is to save $60? The type of car he sold me, it cost me $300 in fuel just to get there. You know, so I can't swallow that one. You know, there's benefits to this bill, the way it was crafted. Because this is the benefit. In my community, we hear people constantly saying, how can property owners, because in my community, the property owner bears the burden of all responsibility for running the school match, the public safety, the transportation facilities, and the city government. The school, it's all laid on property mill rates. The district that I live in Anchorage has the highest mill rate in Anchorage. And they're constantly saying, how do we find relief from property tax rates? The reason why bond packages go down in my community is because it goes on the mill rate, and the only people that pay the mill rate are the property owners. You impose a system that, like this, and we there may be a future in our community where there's relief for property owners. The 1% that goes back to communities that do have sales tax and mill rates may be even able for them to use relief on the property mill rate. The fine gentleman behind me from District O brought up an excellent point. The tourists, the 1.6 million tourists that transit our state that are coming through, and we've seen now the second ship arrive at this port, it's estimated they spend $1.8 billion. Some communities get it, some don't. This would be able to, we'd be able to pick their pocket for $54 million. Think of that. 20% of the potential revenue that this bill raises. We're always saying that. How are we going to get money from those guys that come up? The other proposal that they talk about is that, you know, we see the guy with the shiny belt buckle and the pointy boots that flies through Prudhoe on his way back to Oklahoma. We got to get his money. He's taking all the money out of our state. But just think about it. For every dime you pull out of his pocket, you got to pull 90 cents out of yours. Because the Department of Labor statistics have shown us that about 10% of our annual payroll in this state is earned by outsiders. So for every dollar, we got to get 90 cents of ours for 10 cents of theirs. Just think with this one. We get 25 cents from them, 25% of all the money raised out of this proposal. And this one contributes to our people, whether they spend it or not. If you spend $75,000 a year in discretionary income, that's what you're going to pay. If you spend $7,500 in this discretionary income, that's what you're going to pay. If it's late, Mr. President, I know everyone's agitated. Everybody wants to leave. But this is the moment. Today is the moment. We pile it all up to one day. What are we going to do? Spending limit? No. Because that's the way people feel about it. And that's their prerogative. We all have our own individual rights. Use of percent of market value for a mechanism? No. Broad-based tax? Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Majority. Do we have any further debate? Seeing none, the question before the body is... Shall committee substitute for Senate Bill 366 finance pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will tally the roll.
7 yeas, 12 nays.
A vote of 7 yeas, 12 nays. Senate Bill 366 has failed to pass the Senate. Mr. Majority.
Serve notice of reconsideration. Senate Bill 366.
Notice of reconsideration has been given. Brief at ease, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent to rescind our action in failing to pass Senate Bill 97, and I'd place a call in the House on the Senate.
There is objection. The motion is to rescind.
Place a call.
I think everybody's here. Motion is to rescind our action in failing to pass Senate Bill 97. If the motion passes with 11 votes or more, it would bring the bill back before us in third reading. Are there questions? Senator French, brief at ease. Very often, when you have a rescinding motion, it's the final motion that is available on a measure. It has to pass by the same number of votes that were required to originally pass the bill. So since this is a Senate bill, it takes 11 votes to pass. So it would take 11 votes to rescind our action and bring the bill back before us. Any further questions? Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will tally the roll.
11 yeas, 9 nays.
A vote of 11 yeas, 9 nays. We have rescinded our action in failing to pass Senate Bill 97. The bill is back before us in third reading. Do we have debate? Seeing no debate, members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will tally the roll.
11 yeas, 9 nays.
A vote of 11 yeas, 9 nays. The Senate has passed Senate Bill 97. Mr. Majority Leader.
The effective date clause.
The effective date clause has been moved. Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will tally the roll.
12 yeas, 8 nays.
I voted 12 yeas, 8 nays. The effective date clause has failed. Mr. Majority Leader, the court rule change.
Move the court rule change.
Court rule change has been moved. Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will tally the roll.
12 yeas, 8 nays.
I voted 12 yeas, 8 nays. The court rule changes have failed to pass the Senate.
Citations. Honoring Cecilia Coons. Honoring Benjamin D. Cornell upon his retirement. Honoring Charles H. Benson, Jr. and Celeste Hamduck Benson. Honoring Joan Hamilton. In memoriam, Sonia Dora Ivanoff. In memoriam, Mike Tenenbaum. In memoriam, Betty Lawrenson. In memoriam, Susan Tenate. In memoriam, W.W. Bud Kasulka. In memoriam, Joseph Maxwell Max Hamilton. In memoriam, Charles Henry Hank Rosenthal. In memoriam, Eva Renate Asbury. In memoriam, Peter Ivor Elbasoff, Sr. In memoriam, Robert Lawrence Pelkey, Sr. In memoriam, Emil B. Nelson. In memoriam, Edward Edson Schofield.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Move and ask unanimous consent citation calendar be approved as read by the Senate Secretary.
Without objection, the citations will be approved as read. Complete the daily calendar brings us down to unfinished business. Brief at ease.
Move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused from the call of the Senate from 6 p.m. tomorrow, Saturday, May the 8th, until the evening plain time, Sunday, May the 9th, to attend my daughter's graduation with pride.
Without objection, the Senator will be shown as being excused. Senator Dyson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move and ask unanimous consent that I be allowed to waive SCR, that's Senate Concurrent Resolution 26 from Hess Committee. And this is a resolution asking for the Director of Health, Commissioner of Health, to work on reducing costs on personal care assistance.
Without objection, the measure will be moved to its next committee referral. Other unfinished business? Brings us down to announcements. Senator Wilkin.
The finance will meet tomorrow morning. It's posted at 9 a.m. and we'll start where we left off on Friday's calendar and try to pick up some on Saturday. And a point of information, if I might, do you have a sense of what we might be doing on Sunday?
It is my intent that we will have to have floor session. I believe we're, at this point, talking about convening at, is it noon? We'll just have to judge the floor session. Noon or 1, but sometime. Give a little bit of extra time in the morning. It's Mother's Day. We know some people may be have a gathering, church that morning, and then perhaps a brunch. So we're trying to build in a little bit of time, but we'll let you know for sure tomorrow. Do we have other announcements? Senator Elton.
Thank you, Mr. President. I don't know if any of us will be able to enjoy this, but there is a fundraising cruise for the American Red Cross that leaves from Auk Bay Harbor at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. Given our schedules, the suggestion that I would make is that you buy tickets, and if you need to know where to go to get them, please call my office and we can refer you to the right people. They're also available at Hearthside Book. My suggestion would be buy your tickets. If you can't use them, it's going to a great cause. The services provided by the American Red Cross have never been more important than they are right now. The tickets are $45.
Other announcements? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to announce that this year, again, has been the tradition down here. The city of Nome is going to be putting on a Mother's Day brunch down at the Baranoff. Again, we certainly want to invite all people to come, legislators, their friends, relatives, to come on down and enjoy this very special time where we want to recognize those mothers, grandmothers, great-grandmothers, and even mothers-to-be. Thank you very much, Mr. President.
Senator Ogun.
Thank you. I wanted to announce that I'm canceling the Resources Committee tomorrow, and we're shut down for the year.
Resources Committee is canceled for tomorrow. Briefings.
Any other announcements? Any lengthy special orders? Any short special orders? Mr. Majority Leader.
We would stand and adjourn until 11 a.m.
on Saturday.